This is Luke Easter, and you're listening to Wild Man and Steve.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
The exciting conclusion of the interview with Nathan James with the boys, Wild Man and Steve.
As I heard the demo, I was like, I really hope I get to write that one. I really wanted to write that one. And I truly believe that I was given that because I kind of am naturally that more bluesy singer. And that it's something that I felt more comfortable than maybe Michael did, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, right, he doesn't do, in fact, he's even talked about it in interviews for this album. He didn't really ever do much. He likes the bluesy sound. He had never really done that much. So which song are you referring to?
So it's the final track, Enough of Your Love. Which I wrote the lyrics and melody for that track when I got the demo, and as soon as I heard it, I was just like, it's got to be that bit. It had to have a title with love in as well. It needed that. And sometimes you have to lean into the obvious, right? I think sometimes the more people fight the urge and are so worried about it sounding too much like something else, that's when the quality suffers. Everyone's so adamant on being original and doing the harder thing and doing the more different chord or doing the slightly... When you're concentrating on that, you're not concentrating on what is the best for the song. Mm. What's best for the song is what naturally falls out of you and what is naturally what you want to do in that moment. And when it goes to that chord and you want to go, you want to make sure that it falls out of you.
And may I just say, let's be honest, it is really what fans want to hear.
Yeah.
It really is. I'll never forget, and Lord knows I love Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, but I remember this, the early 90s, and they came to the United States. I was living in Austin, Texas at the time, and they were playing this show together and really showcasing a lot of their world music influences. It was great. It was awesome. When they kicked into Black Dog, the roof blew off the place. Yeah. And I remember thinking at the time, I'm like, guys, we appreciate some of the other stuff, but honestly, we want to hear Black Dog, okay?
Exactly. And coming into this project, I knew that what the label were kind of after was a Whitesnake sounding album, because they've got three... two present and one ex Whitesnake member. So,
right.
I've been compared to Coverdale before, which is hugely flattering. I don't necessarily think we sound exactly alike. I'm not trying to do an impression. I try and be myself. But there are moments where I do find myself like doing a slight Coverdale impression, you know, even if it's like a all right, like just something small that you can't get away from. And but you've got to, yeah, that is my influence. That's the reason I sing. He is the reason I sing, you know, him, Glenn Hughes, Paul Rodgers, Freddie Mac, those are the reasons I sing like I do. So if you don't hear some of that, then I've been taught wrong. You know, they are my teachers.
Yeah.
The other song that I wrote on was All I Need, which is a ballad. I was a bit scared about writing a ballad. Also, I knew it was going to be like earlier on in the album. And when I heard it, I thought, oh, this is going to be epic. It just needs to be a big sing-along, cheesy sounding chorus that everyone can sing. You know, light as in the air. Like, what I was thinking when I wrote it. And when I did write it, I thought, oh, I hope they like it. Sent it off to the label. And then Alessandro, the producer, Del Vecchio, I'm sure you would have seen on everything. He said, dude, this is amazing. I think we're going to have it as one of the singles. And I didn't think anything of it. And then when the album came out, they were like, yeah, it's going to be the third single. And I was so happy, like, to know that a song that I wrote the lyrics and melody for was going to be a single was just huge, like, unbelievable to me. Yeah, I've done some cool things, but to say that I've written a song that's been played by Tommy Aldrich and Marco Mendoza and Joel Hoekstra and Michael Sweet is just unreal. We've said goodbye 100 times, taking its toll.
You are living the dream for a lot of us. Let me tell you right now.
I know I am. I don't take it for granted. There's a couple of other singers who are kind of so cool that they. I think if this all ended tomorrow for me, I could look back at these moments and be so proud. You know, I've got all my records up on the wall. They're not gold records. They're just my records that I've written up on the wall. And I cannot wait to put this iconic album up there just to exist forever. Music exists forever.
Yep.
And it's pretty cool that I'm going to get to show my grandkids that one day, you know.
That's yeah.
Cool.
Hello, you've reached the Wild Man and Steve hotline. How may I help you?
Yeah, you got that new Elephant album?
Do you mean the new final edition of John Elefante's amazing new album, The Amazing Grace?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, y'all got that one?
You can pre-order that now at girdermusic.com, sir.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Hello, this is the Wild Man and Steve Hotline. How may I help you?
Yeah, hi, do you know where I could get the Boondock Saints album?
Do you mean the CD and vinyl of Smokin' Hot Blues by Dale Thompson and the Boondogs?
That's it. That's the one. I've looked all over for it.
Sir, you can find that and all great Christian music releases at girdermusic.com.
Fantastic. Thanks, Wild Man.
But I'm not Wild Man. Hello, this is Steve with the Wild Man and Steve Hotline.
Hey there, there's this song, Passover Prophecy, a chaotic resemblance. The has been tearing up the charts. You know anything about the rest of that album? Is the whole thing that hard and heavy?
Well, girdermusic.com says it rocks with a bludgeoning vow of dedication.
That's for me, man. Can I order it from Girder Music?
Yes, sir. Just go to girdermusic.com and you can find Nazarites by Chaotic Resemblance, Zealots in the Land of Nod by Monstrous, albums by Brazilian power metal band Dynasty, and more, along with all your classic Christian rock favorites.
Hey, thanks, brother. Hey, be sure to tell Steve I said hi.
But I am Steve.
Hey, Steve, something wrong?
It's just that everyone seems to think I'm you.
Seems like a compliment to me.
Fine. You man the hotline for a while. I'm going to go check out all the great new releases at girdermusic.com.
So talk to us a bit about what it's like to be a part of multiple different projects. You know, coming out of the 80s and everything, Steve and I have talked about this before with other guests that, you know, usually you had somebody who was a part of one band and that was pretty much their whole career was just that one band. And every now and then they might do something here or there, but for the most part, what is that like? Like, from your perspective, is it just something you're just doing what you enjoy and it doesn't matter who's on the record with you?
But when I was in TSO, I was actually doing TSO, Uli John Roth's band in his touring band, and Inglorious all at the same time. Wow. And that was difficult. It is difficult. I actually, at the beginning of Inglorious, I stopped doing it. I even left TSO to make Inglorious happen. So I made sure that I told, I feel like you have to tell the rock community, there's a lot of gatekeepers, you have to tell the rock community that you're really serious about something for them to believe in it. And I put my all in the line, you know, I put all my money into the band in the beginning, put all my time into it, left really high profile gigs to make sure that I could focus and songwrite and do all the things that I needed to do to make it work. And it paid off. But now I'm in a position where we need to earn more, right? We've had 2 years of doing nothing. And the idea that I was going to be on an album with these guys, as the iconic guys, and someone was going to pay me for it is like the maddest thing. That's like so wild to me. Like you would have done it for, don't tell them, I would have done it for free. But it's crazy to me. So yeah, it's about, I feel like me making Inglorious happen and it doing really well means that I can get to do other things. And Iconic isn't going to be a big tourer this next couple of years because I've obviously half the band are in Whitesnake or on their final tour. So if it tours, amazing, great. If not, it's going to be fun to do a couple of albums or an album every year and a half, 2 years. It's not a lot of my time, but it's something I can be really proud of. And I'm looking forward to doing more stuff like this now that Inglorious is on a level where it's bobbing along nicely. I'm really content with it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to whatever else happens, whoever else I sing with, or yeah, whatever's around the corner.
Didn't you just do something, was there some, I saw it online, was it a Led Zeppelin tribute, or there was something about Zeppelin in you here recently?
I do a show called Zeppelin Symphonic, which
that was it, right?
Is the music of Led Zeppelin with a 50-piece orchestra. So I did it last year in at the world famous London Palladium Theatre, like stunning. Just everyone's played there, you know, like everyone you can imagine has played there. It's where they hold the Royal Variety performance in the UK. So played there, and I sung Kashmir and Ramble On, and after Kashmir, I had a standing ovation, like 2,500 people, and it was the craziest moment of my life. And I was lucky enough to be asked back again this year. They're doing it again and they've asked me back. So I'm looking forward to doing that. I did a Queen Symphonic one as well. I'm singing this month with Kim Wilde and Belinda Carlisle.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm doing an 80s classical concert with these big stars from the 80s. So I'm singing two solos. I'm singing The Power of Love by Huey Lewis and the News. It's a great track.
Oh, yes.
I'm doing St. Elmo's Fire by John Parr.
That is such a great song great for your song. Voice. Oh, that yes. is perfect for you. Yes.
So I'm doing that with a 50-piece orchestra. And it just sounds, even thinking about it, the hair's going up my arm. It's just the most amazing thing. And I'm also singing backing vocals for Kim Wilde and Belinda Carlisle and all these other 80s legends. So I'm doing more and more outside of the band now, which is fun because, A, I'm earning, which is great after 2 years of sitting on my ass. It's a wonderful feeling to be working. But also it's just good for your, it's good for your brain and your voice to do different things. I still like challenging myself. You know, I'm only 33. I'm not done yet.
So I've got to ask, because we've explored this with different artists and from different parts of the world as well. And there's a sense, at least that we have, that some of the classic rock, the hard rock, metal, that kind of stuff, its day has passed, right? The day of filling the arenas is gone. MTV, those days, those heydays, that's gone. There's this music is still there, but on a much, much smaller level. Yet to hear you talking about it, I'm hearing really successful stuff going on with Inglourious. I'm hearing these other projects that are really cooking along very, very well. What's your perspective of the scene for this kind of music? And we'll just call it that classic rock music.
I think it has changed. I think it's definitely not dead. I hate when people say that. That's the most annoying.
Good. Good to hear.
It's an obnoxious thing for people to say who've had the joys of the heyday, you know? I find it to be very insulting. If I was around 40 years ago, I would have probably been called up to sing for a Deep Purple or for a... I might have been one of those singers. Do you know what I mean? I would have... It would have been lovely. I wasn't born in that time. I don't have that option. I'm making the best of what I have now. And I think those guys need to shut up and just enjoy their money and keep quiet. But yeah, the scene has changed. I think the interesting thing I'm finding is things like this Zeppelin show and this 80s concert. This 80s concert sold 10,000 tickets or something in an open air place. It's a huge, great big thing. And I think people want, the fans of this genre on the whole just want to be comfortable. So the idea of being sat in a beautiful theatre and drinking a glass of Prosecco or red wine whilst not being on a sticky floor, you know what I mean, and not being surrounded by sweaty people and dudes passing gas, I think is a nice idea. So I think that's why these kind of gigs I'm getting are more attractive to that classic rock crowd. And I just think people don't, yeah, they're not, in your 20s, it's fine to do that all day, right? Being a sweaty pit and being a mosh pit or whatever. But
it's
not in your 50s and 60s. Like, it's just not.
Yeah, sure. So what would be your advice to fans? Specifically fans that love your style and love the general classic rock style, what would be your advice? How can they support this style? What's the best thing they can do?
If they want to be in the business of kind of this classic rock genre or whatever it is, I think the most important thing is skill. So just practice. Like, the reason why I just listed off what I'm doing, those orchestra gigs this year, and I'm getting booked to do other things, I'm a versatile singer. I can sing pretty much anything that you throw at me, and I think that's why I've been so busy. Same for my musicians in my band. My guitarist Danny in Inglourious, who's in his early 20s, is the finest guitarist I've probably ever played with. He's unbelievable. But he practices ass off. You know, he practices so hard and he listens to all sorts of music and he wants to be a well-rounded musician. And all those guys in those classic rock bands were the same. They practiced. All of my heroes practiced. It's not punk. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is, you have to have skill. And surrounding yourself with other people that challenge you helps that as well. So I find that Al Petrelli, actually, when I was in Transylvanian Orchestra, told me that surround yourself with greatness and push to be the greatest in the room. Like, be constantly wanting to learn and be constantly bettering yourself, and surround yourself with people who want to do the same, and you will succeed, because in the end, talent does prevail. You know, it does prevail in the end. So yeah, I think a practice for them. If you want to support bands in this genre, buy them merch and buy them gig tickets. I think it's a really crazy time, and we're noticing that numbers across the board, I'm sure it's the same over in the US, that ticket sales are still down. You know, they're big names are selling out, but on our level, people are scared in case things get moved or in case there's another COVID spike or whatever happens. But just buy those tickets. Don't wait. Yeah. You've got to get out. And also these venues, man. Like, some of these venues, just how they've survived the last 2 years, we all owe it to them to go to as many shows as we can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's the thing, and we've talked so often on this show, there are so many people involved in this business. Obviously, everybody thinks about, you know, the four or five guys on stage. But you've got the folks doing the tickets and the folks doing the merch, the folks running the venue, all that, the tech guys. It's such a big family, really. And one part affects the other. What's interesting to me is when you were saying support bands, you said buy tickets and buy merch. What you didn't say was buy the music, because we all know that the downloads and that kind of stuff, it's minimal. So just kind of coming back to Iconic for a moment, do you guys have any more merch planned coming out? As soon as I messaged Michael Sweet on Twitter, there is an Iconic poster that is on eBay. And I asked him, I said, is this legit? It's because it's not on any Iconic website, but it looks like a legit poster. So you might just check out Iconic poster and go on eBay and see it there. Are you guys planning any kind of merch or anything around that to support that particular project?
I don't know. Maybe now. Maybe now we know someone's making some money. no, we'll see. I think the dream for me personally would be to do a show. You know, let's do a show, see what happens. We all got on really well in the video recordings, and it's been a really pleasant experience between the five of us. So I'd love to get a show done, see what happens, see if the vibe's there, see if people are digging it. Also, I think from a selfish kind of point of view, the idea of like filling out a whole headline set when we've only got one album is very exciting. Because you've just, the idea of like me getting to sing a Whitesnake song, or me getting to duet on The Hell with the Devil with Michael, or like, you know what I mean? Like, or alternatively, them playing an Inglourious song. Like, as well, you know, like,
yeah,
the idea is just brilliant. I think it would be a really cool set list, and I think the fans would dig it. So,
oh, totally.
We'll see what happens with Whitesnake when that's come to an end. You're trying to get five dudes with their own careers to get their schedules together is a logistical nightmare. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Although I do wonder with the Whitesnake tour starting to wind down and so forth, and then I wonder if would Inglourious ever say, for example, tour with Striper, because Striper is trying to rack up dates like crazy. I think Michael is a madman in terms of securing dates for Striper. Would Inglourious ever come over here? Do you think Striper would ever go to Britain and do something
out? I would love that. I just, it's so hard to even make those plans at the moment, right? It's just right now the logistics of that with visas and COVID and everything else make things so tricky. Even insurance companies aren't insuring those cancellations or whatever. So you're leaving yourself very vulnerable. We have to get the economy back into a place where we all feel more secure about doing these things. And the best way to help kickstart that is to buy buying tickets and buying merch.
Yeah.
And showing that there's demand, you know. We have to show that there is demand for these gigs.
Something you were not prepared for, at least we did not tell you, it is time now for Wild Man's on the spot question. So every guest we have, I always have an on the spot question, and here is yours. So Nathan James, you are on a deserted island. You have no communication with anybody. You can only listen to one album. What is it going to be?
It's going to be David Coverdale's North Winds album.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Steve is going crazy right now because he's a huge Coverdale fan. I am as well, but he's really losing it. Yeah.
Oh, brother.
The sound of that album is just unreal. And I actually got to work with Mickey Moody, who recorded on a track I did years ago.
No.
And the first question when he walked in the studio was like, what was it like doing North Winds? I couldn't even wait to ask him what that was like. I'm obsessed with that album. And you can't stream it anywhere. I think it's pretty much unstreamable. So I've got it on CD, you know.
Yes.
I play it in the car. It's stunning. It's one of the best singers right at his prime.
Yes.
Just sounding and singing with so much soul. He's a blues soul singer to the core, you know. Just unbelievable playing on that album as well. Everyone's incredible.
Oh my goodness. So first off, I think you're the first person we've ever had on the show to reference that album. I am that one and the preceding solo album, just called White Snake. I love both of those, but I will say North Winds, and I'm looking at the track list right now. Song number 4, Time and Again, is one of my all-time favorite love songs. I put it on a mixtape for the girl who would become my wife back in the day. And true story, I was driving with my daughter. My daughter's 17. And we were driving recently, and it was a long drive, and we had no radio in the car, and I just started singing songs. And at some point I started into Time and Again. And I told her that I put that on the tape for her mom. And I said, you know, at some point, I hope you find somebody in your life that would say those kinds of words, you know, no wasted words on conversation. All I want to do is just talk about the woman I love. I said, that's what I pray for you and so forth. So, oh my goodness, that whole album is just.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
I'm getting emotional hearing you talk about your love for it, because to me, it's everything that I I love about him, and I think there's so much bravado with Coverdale that people kind of don't see the real him. But when you listen to that album and you hear him singing those songs so eloquently, it is amazing.
Well, people a lot of times do make that distinction between the earlier Coverdale, earlier Whitesnake, and then the Geffen era and the MTV era, and it became much more bombastic. But you take a look at Only My Soul off that album. Again, just, it's exquisite. That's the only word for it. It's exquisite. There is a, almost a delicious pain that it touches in your soul. And so... Oh, I might have to come visit you on that desert island if that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, Wild Man and Steve Enterprises. We'll fund that. We'll fund that.
That's right.
All right. Well, Mr. James, it has been great to have you on the show today. And so thankful that you took the time to be with us. And we're going to love getting this out there. I know our listeners are going to love hearing about you and hearing more about you. And anything we can do to promote you and your work, please let us know. We will continue to do the best we can for that.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It was an honor to interview Nathan James. Such a great talent. What I appreciated the most is the passion by which he sings. When you hear him sing a song, he puts everything he has into it. We are taught in God's Word that whatever we do, whether in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. May all of us use everything we have to please Him. Thank you for listening, everybody, and we will see you next time.
The Wild Man and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
Sounds like rock and roll to me.